On this episode of The Playbook, I have an incredible sales training that I did for the team here at Clarity Experiences, the producers of my TV show and multiple events virtually and in person. And we talked about how important it is to get people to call you back. Learn how to utilize the five to thrive. Tweet me at David Meltzer, your favorite part of today's episode, and check the show notes to see how you can contact me at any time.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook.
I'm going to get specifically into selling. And I believe that you need to break your selling down into five parts. And the first part's the most essential to change your trajectory of sales. And the reason I was successful in sales, I made over $1 million right out of law school selling legal research online. And the reason was, is I looked at things differently. And I looked at the most important part of sales is to stimulate interest. So I decided that being 24 years old, right out of law school, with most of the salespeople that were selling books and all the old stuff were living on, you know, six-figure incomes, they had families, that there was no way I was going to be a better salesperson than they were after being there 30 or 40 years. But where I could beat them was just numbers, being more productive, accessible, gracious with my time, but filling my pipeline with more people, right? If, for example, I'm a 100 hitter in baseball, but you allow me to get 100 at bats and we're going to see who gets the most hits, I'm going to do pretty well. So I changed the paradigm, not how many people I would close, but I wanted to practice and focus on how many people I could get interested in what I was doing. And what I found was that the more people I could get interested, that it was a lot easier to close for several reasons when I had a lot of people in my pipeline. I had less fear, less resistance. I had more practice. I continually gave myself more and more. And you guys have all played, and everyone here has played sports before. It's amazing how much better you get at the golf range when we practice. And so how do we stimulate interest better? Only two things happen when you stimulate interest. Somebody is available and somebody's not. Right? When you are asking in person on the phone via email or media, social media or traditional media, and you guys do all of those to get people stimulated or interested in what you're doing, well, you only have two choices. They are there or they're not there. And if they are there, you want to be an expert at only one thing, getting them to call you back. Right? You want people, the expertise of what I do still today is I'm focused on getting people to call me back. You want to know why? Because 80% of the people you reach out to, whether they're already interested or not, whether they know you or not, 80% of them never get back to you. Imagine how much time that is. If you truly are productive 8 hours a day, think about 80% of your 8 hours a day, 6.4 hours a day are wasted completely. Completely wasted if they never get back to you. So how do we get people to call us back? Instead of trying to sell them, instead of trying to teach them, instead of trying to share a vision initially, has anybody ever got somebody on an answering machine or a message that's selling you the whole thing and you don't even know who they are? Right? I mean, nobody ever buys. I literally have seen millions of hours of wasted time, energy, emotion, and money because people think I'm going to buy off of some message in person on the phone. But it's like, slow down. The first step is to get me to call back. So what I like to do to get people to call me back is to understand why they would call me back. Most of the time, why somebody's going to call you back is if you're interested in what they do, either as a customer or as a client or as a partner, or as an associate. They don't want to be sold. They want to go shopping with a friend, right? They want to go shopping with a friend. They want to be sold. So I spend an enormous amount of time stimulating interest, getting people to call me back. One of the things I teach people is, you know, when you call somebody, right, only two things can happen. They answer or they don't. And that's in a variety of different ways. So if you can learn, okay, hi, this is so-and-so. I'm calling because I'd like to invite you to this. I'm calling because I'd like to buy your stuff. People, it's the only time I think, because I think integrity and credibility is the number one thing. You don't want to oversell, back-end sell, lie, manipulate, or cheat, because then you send your clients down a whole wormhole of trying to see where else you're lying, manipulating, cheating. But the only place that I'm right on the edge of integrity is in stimulating interest. After that, I'm 100% all quantitative value, reasons, impacts, and capabilities, quantitative exactly to the truth, illuminating my weaknesses, making myself equal, making myself different. But to get someone to call me back, the most important line that I've learned is, hey, I'd like to buy your stuff. Give me a call. Why? Because I didn't tell you a price. So I could call Brian today and say, hey, man, I have a huge event. I like your services. What's the chances he's going to call me back? Even though I want to sell him.
You're getting a call.
Yeah. Right. I'm getting a call back. Right. And Gary's going to call me back and I can sit there all day long, have a conversation. Now I have all the leverage in the conversation. And in the end, I know that, you know, I'll give you $10 to put the event on. Oh, I can't do it for that. Oh, so we just interested in what I'm doing, but I'll give you the template to use to transition interest. So be clever about understanding why somebody will call you back. Imagine if you could increase 10%, 20%, 30% of the people that call you back, 40%, 50%, 90% of the people call me back. And I've worked years to have that leverage, the credibility, et cetera. But, you know, they will call me back because I literally do exactly what this is. I get, find out what you do and tell you I'm interested in it. I don't talk about what I'm doing because I just want to get you to call me back. Then the next step, when you get them to call you back, so practice that, by the way, practice. The cool thing is if you ask people or practice that in person, on the phone, via email and media, and consistently 7 days a week, there's a power in math and numbers of the productivity, which I'll get to. I call it the power of 64. I'll give you all my books. They're here. It changed my life because I know how to be productive beyond what other people can by utilizing the amount of productive time, the amount of efficiency in that time, and the amount of statistical success with my time. Doubling. 8 hours turns to 16, 16 to 32, 32 to 64 of productivity. I'm beating people with math all day long. So how do we, after you call me back, now what do we have to do? We have to transition the interest from you thinking that you're buying from me to me selling you. First of all, understanding what someone does when they're selling you is the best way to understand how you could be a value or service of them instead of you probing and trying to figure it out. So you already now have leverage and perspective because Gary's selling me. So I'm learning where the weaknesses, the strengths are, competitors are, et cetera. And I'm seeing where my capabilities, my skills, my knowledge, and my desire are synergistic or supplementary to what Gary does, so that I can get to a formula that says, hey, considering you do this, this, and this, can you see any reason you want me to do this to help you? And if I can articulate, I mean, speak, if I can articulate quantitative value to exceed what I asked Gary for, there's no reason to say no. I'll give you an example. Can I have that highlighter real quick? Anybody here want to buy this highlighter for $1 million? No. Anybody here believe within a minute, all of you will want to buy my highlighter for $1 million? All of you will. Let me tell you why. I have a lot of these, by the way, exactly the same. Gary knows where to get them. He promises he can get more. So I will give each of you this type of highlighter exactly for $1 million. I will give you a $1 million loan at 0% interest. I also will have you open up an escrow account to anybody that you want, and we'll put another $1 million into that escrow account for you. And at the end of the year, if you cannot sell this highlighter for $2 million, I will relieve you of your $1 million debt at 0% interest and release the $1 million in escrow to you. Can you see any reason you won't want to buy this? That's articulating quantitative value to exceed what I'm asking for. If you cannot do that in your own business, then don't sell. Stay at home and keep practicing until you are an expert at articulating the quantitative value that you're going to ask for to exceed what you're asking for. And the easiest way to learn that is to call someone interested in what they're doing and then utilizing questions. So what's the template? We now know how to transition the interest. What are the questions we ask? Number one, what do you do, Gary? What are you doing today? What do you like about what you're doing? What don't you like about what you're doing? What should I look, right? Could you see any reason it wouldn't help you if I was able to do this for you? All of a sudden, he's like, don't sell me. Who's selling who here? In the end, sometimes you may find an opportunity that you can create a margin off of what they're doing and they're going to buy what you're doing. many times, especially in your business, is there a mutual type of opportunity where there's co-revenue or existence of that, but you're not going to get to these conversations unless they call you back or email you back or DM you back or LinkedIn message you back, whatever it is. Increase your statistical success. Increase your statistical success by getting the comeback. And then the template is just simply this. What do you do today? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? And then knowing what you do, articulate the quantitative value of how you can bring value to what they do. Can you see any reason, right? Would it help you if I did this? 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 Yes, yes, no, yes. Oh, so from what you told me, it would help you if I did this, this, and that. Can you see any reason you won't want to move forward? Oh, I thought you were selling that. You forgot about it. But you got way more at bats and you have a much higher statistical success because you're using a simple template and it's more fun because you're learning about everyone's business and figuring out how to reconcile what you do, the capability, skills, knowledge, and desire that you have to what they're doing. Would it help you if? What do you do today? What do you like about it? What don't you like it? Would it help you if? Can you see any reason you won't want to move forward? Now, when somebody says yes at that time, you're 20% of the way there. Especially in your business. The greatest businesses in the world know that you're 20% of the way there when that person says, yes, let's do this. The big part of selling is in managing and developing that vision. So a verbal yes to me is a shared vision. Now, 80% of the work is to manage and develop a vision. So I have some sort of go, no, go plan when someone says yes. Terrific, you said yes, and I go ahead and either codify it in an email or a document, depending how long it is. Next step is going to be, I'm going to send you a rough draft of the agreement. You're going to look it over. If it looks good, we're going to move forward. The next step is we'll sign it within this date if it looks good. And each one is a go, no go plan. So what you're doing is stepping them through baby steps so that it's not overwhelming, because when people say yes, they're emotionally attached to you. And a day later, a week later, a month later, you're annoying. But not if you have a go, no go plan and you just steadily say, okay, next step, just rough draft. Oh, next step, just sign agreement. Oh, next step is whatever, whatever. And it's all written out, either in an email or in a checklist. And I can give you guys an example of a go, no go plan. The reason we want to do it is that not only does it expedite and reduce the emotional resistance that you get, but gets you a statistical roadmap to what you want to get done. And moreover, it allows you to evaluate how you're doing through the process. Because if you're able to execute the quantitative value that you promised equal to what you promised, they'll tell everybody else to work with you. You don't have to exceed expectations. Exceeding expectations rarely happens. It's a matter of luck. Right? You guys are family to me. And throughout the process of doing my TV shows, right, we're managing expectations. Not everything went as I thought. Some things were better. If you met my expectations and when we exceeded it, we were lucky. But I was like telling everyone on top of the world, this is the best place ever. Because why? Most people don't even come close to managing or meeting expectations. There's always back-end selling, lying, manipulating, or cheating involved. And if you do that, you've just made your job even more statistically successful, because then you have other people out there going, oh, you have an event? You got to use Clarity, right? Call. That's where your business thrives. And you've built that part of the business as well. So before I get to questions, stimulate interest, transition interest, share a vision, manage and develop a vision with a go-no-go plan and thrive. Now, let's just talk about the math. When I got out of law school, I had a $250,000 comp plan, app plan, selling. That's what I was going to make. That's why I chose to do it over practicing law, because all I wanted to do was buy my mom a house and a car. I grew up poor. That's all I wanted to do. So I looked at that and I said, how do I figure this out? Because I'm not as good as the rest of the guys. I don't know. I don't have customers who know me. These guys have been working 30, 40 years. Everything's new to me. I never had a real job before. So I said, I'm just going to beat them with math. So I said, every day, 7 days a week, I'm going to have 16 hours of productivity. 16 hours, I'm going to be productive towards selling. So my plan went from $250,000 to $125,000, right? seem much more attainable. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to practice all these things and I'm going to create systems and be efficient at it so that I'm twice as productive with my 16 hours. That's 32 hours of time. Cut my comp plan in half again. Then I said, I'm going to practice this. I'm going to get more people in the pipe, which gives me more statistical success. Now 64 hours of productivity a day. I could, compared to people that could be productive 8 hours a day, I could be productive 8 days in one day. And then I said, there's only activity I get paid for and activity I don't get paid for. So I'm going to vacation every day. I'm going to have work out every day, but I'm also going to be productive every day and learn to love what I'm doing. And I'm going to do it 7 days a week. So that's 56 days of productivity compared to most people that were at best 5 days productive. So I was doing over 11 times the production. Now, the end result was I was 3 times the performance of the next best guy. And they were like, well, you know, accolades, awards, most importantly, $1 million in comp. Unfortunately, I didn't know very much about comp plans, so they cut my comp plan and shortened my territory. I didn't know that as a young man. But, you know, when they were telling me, oh my God, you blew out the comp plan, I was like, no, I didn't. I just had 10 years of productivity in 9 months. Now, I don't think all of you are in the position like I was coming out of law school, single, you know, without anything, that you may or may not want to do that with your life. But I promise you, if you do, the numbers will beat everything. And just accelerates what you're doing. You get better at it. You have more relationships, more referrals. You just compress all the time by utilizing the power of 64. So be conscious of that. If you use the 5 to thrive in the power of 64 to whatever capacity you have, you will double, triple, quadruple your performance in a very short amount of time. Just changing your mindset towards that, you'll be amazed. If all you did was change the stimulating interest part and didn't use anything else I taught you in the last 15 minutes, you'll do so much better just doing what you do today. If you continually do all the other things, you'll get the exponential results. But I'm happy to answer some questions right now.
What is your best advice for handling objections?
So I have very strict no's of rejection. Number one, my goal to avoid objections is to find open minds. It takes 1,000 times the effort to re-engineer a vision of a closed mind than it does to find an open mind. 1,000 times the effort. Too many people try to convince a closed mind of something when they could have got 1,000 more opportunities in the amount of time that they did that. So how do I effectuate that? Trying to find a closed mind, I have a 3 no rule. So if someone schedules a phone call with me, for example, and something happens, doesn't matter what it is, I'm a universal no person. I could have forgotten, they could have forgotten, they could have blown me off. Yeah, I got a flat tire and didn't make it to the phone. 1 no. If I get a 2nd no, for whatever reason in the universe, 2nd no. On the 3rd no, I always respond, hey, I'm sure you can appreciate it. I need to attend to the clients that I currently have. I'd love to earn your business. When you're ready, please let me know. And I never call them back again. 50% of the time, no, that's an estimation. If you know me, you've heard me say, you know, the only statistic I know to be true is 99% of statistics are made up. So about 50% of the time, people will call me back and tell me I'm ready to go or I want to move forward. All I've done, just so you know, is accelerated someone that was going to do business with me anyway. I've accelerated so I didn't have to call them one more time. So I saved myself some time, but I haven't done anything miraculous by walking away from that person. They've already decided they wanted to do business. It was circumstantial. By walking away from them, I've accelerated them moving forward with me. The real value is the people that never call me back, the 50% that never call me back, because I promise you, 1 in 1,000 of those people will do business with you. Like I said, it takes 1,000 times the energy. And think about how much time you've wasted on those types of people thinking, oh, they're not getting back to me. Oh, Gary, help me. No. Let me help you with the energy of this is the woo-woo side of me. I personally, before I call anyone, I close my eyes and tell myself this is going to be effortless. No resistance. I just go ahead and put that thought out there. Why not? I have a saying about things, spiritual things. If it doesn't have any risk and it works for me, do it. Try it. It has no risk. It doesn't cost anything.
I love that. Like, disqualifying is as important as qualifying or more important?
Equally important. Just equally important, right? Trust and bet, right? I'm consistently rolling. Now, if I was going to get something published, for example, it's a different scenario than selling. So if I'm looking for to get a book published, well, you don't want to use the three no rule. you see the difference between selling someone and having the call set up compared to then I use the 25 no rule. If I'm like trying to pitch a movie or a book or something and, you know, pitching it out there to a whole bunch of people, then I say to myself, when someone tells me, no, I'm not interested, I tell myself, oh, good, I'm not much closer to a yes. I always tell myself, what if there's 25 no's before I get a big yes? Well, then I'd be excited at 10, more excited at 20. It keeps me inspired, but I'm just getting closer. And you'll see a lot of people that have done huge projects, like Jack Canfield, the most sold book in the world is Chicken Soup for the Soul, $500 million. 112 publishers told him no. But he just kept saying, I'm closer, I'm closer. As long as you learn from it, you'll be closer. One caveat. Any other questions?
How do you manage the time with your statistics of being able to see? Is it a lot of tracking? How do you do that?
Great. So you got to have your own system. So where I am at today, because I have thousands of things, is, you know, funnels, downstreams, and employees. But when I was a salesperson, I had folders in Outlook. So I know what types of leads that I have, what type of interest people had. So whether it was CD-ROM state, CD-ROM federal, online federal, full package, whatever. And I would then qualify them into, because this is pre-CRM. In fact, my next job from selling Legal Research Online from 1992, we sold that company for $3.4 billion. I went to the Silicon Valley, was in the middleware space, transcoding Salesforce into XML for WAP phones. So that was like the first Salesforce automation tool. Whatever CRM, SFA, or Outlook that you have, PIM applications, just create the categories of what you do. Still today, in my Outlook, I have pre-notes because I get thousands of emails a day. And they're already, I just click and drag them over to answer emails. Because in my mind, I know this is a request for this, this is this, this is that. And so it's, you know, right there. You'll create your own systems to make sure that you can handle what they are. And the best way is just look for patterns as you're selling more and more, starting them, and then you'll adjust them as you get more and more things. And you also give you an indication of maybe you're saying something different. So you're getting the same objection. Right? We're looking for patterns where it's like, there's two types of objections you get. One is because of what you're saying, you're not articulating the quantitative value correctly. So you're creating a resistance. And the other is an energetic one. There's biorhythms and energy and all this. And if you're in that day where everyone's shitting on you as a salesperson, stop selling, go to the beach, go surfing, you're going to kill your pipeline. If you think you're going to shift your energy, you know, after five people are like, just something weird's going on, at least take an hour or two break. Come back, shift your energy, use the universe in your favor. Sales is a very energetic thing. It's a very mindset, heart set thing. You can create opportunity by your perspective, and you also can kill it with your perspective. I'll give you an example of how important your energy is. I'll walk into a room and a family function, and you guys have probably had this. My nephew, who loves me, like looks right through me. My mom doesn't even like smile when I walk in. I'll get out of the room. I'll go for a walk, shift my energy. When I come back in, because I feel differently, all of a sudden my nephew jumps up. Now, the old Dave would have sat there going, what's the matter with him? What'd I do? And all these insecurities and then my negative energy would keep spiraling and then nobody pays attention to you. And then what my sister says pissed me off and I end up getting in a fight and then nobody really does like me. And this is exactly what happens to you in sales. Good question. You have another one back then?
The other question to follow up was, do you time block?
Five daily practices. So for me, take inventory of my values every day first. What do I want? First, before I get into that calendar, which is essential in my life, what do I want personally today? What do I want experientially today? What do I want receiving and giving? I then say to myself, who can help me. Then I get in to be a student of my calendar. I look at my calendar and study it with attention plus intention equals coincidence, a lens of productivity, how productive am I with my time, how accessible am I to others, and how am I accessing what I want, and gratitude. I'm making sure I'm learning to love every activity that I get paid for, I don't get paid for, every activity I planned, I don't have planned, including my sleep. So I'm going to start with sleep. My tomorrow starts today. I start my day at 9 p.m. with an unwinding routine to put my body, mind, and soul in the right position so that tomorrow morning I plateau. I don't start each day at the bottom of the hill trying to roll a boulder to the top. I plateau and grow my day because I'm consciously not having any negativity in my life from 9 p.m. on. I go off the grid. I don't have arguments. I don't watch crazy stuff. I literally unwind into a continuum that allows me to plateau to grow. Secondly, blocking. There's only activity you have planned and you don't have planned. So study what you have planned. I have a 5-20 rule. My objective is 5-minute phone calls, 20-minute interviews, meetings, and speeches. I make exceptions for family and give you guys 30 or 35. But it's amazing. After 5 minutes on a phone call from someone you don't know or barely know, you're just visiting. And unless you have some innate desire to visit or to become best friends with someone you don't know, or you, most of the people you don't want to visit with, you want to spend that time with your boys, with your family, with whoever. Same thing with meetings. Now, I make exceptions to these things, right? I give more time, so it's not blocked. But I will tell you, the 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, most of my days are 12 phone calls. 12 phone calls to finish my day and 5 minutes each. The good thing about increments of five is that if you're 5 minutes late or 5 minutes early, nobody cares compared to if you're in an hour meeting and someone's blocked that off and you're half an hour late, it makes a big deal to that person. You'll be amazed what you can do when you study what you have planned and you don't have planned, especially what you don't have planned. Most people waste their day because they're not studying what they don't have planned. They're not studying how they can be productive, accessible, and gracious. You know, I use basic lists. Sometimes I'll see, you know, and I call it empty space or white space in my calendar. And yesterday, for example, I saw an opening. It was a very small opening, but I put set doctor appointment, get haircut. There was like two other things on there that were real. It's those really simple things that go on months and months that you don't do. And right. But because I've studied it, I got all four of the things done like this.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode in any way or found any value, screenshot it, share it, however you'd like. My only ask is you help me empower others to be happy.